This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick.
Hello.
And Alec Medford. Gentlemen.
The new addition.
Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thanks, man. By the way, we are not bringing Frank Gore in for a workout next week.
Come on.
That is not going to happen.
What about Adrian Peterson?
I'm betting no. Those guys are older than Dalvin Cook. I get it. Dalvin Cook is cooked. I get it. His shoulder injury last year, yada, 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 all that stuff. They're just looking at it. And they're also going saying to themselves, their running back room stinks. They gotta come up with some solutions. Sure. So they're doing everything they can to turn over every stone, Kevin.
Well, I just want to know, just to start off, whether it's the YouTube, the Twitch, Fantext, 877-881-1053, are you excited about Dalvin Cook coming in for a workout? Because part of me is like, sure, what's to lose? Just have somebody in for the workout. But then another part of me gets worried that they're like, we got Dalvin Cook and Zeke. Hell yeah, let's ride. And
problem
I'm like,
solved.
Yeah, and that part is kind of concerning to me. So I did.
No, we're not bringing it. Hold on, are we bringing in Kareem Hunt? Let me go look.
I do kind of want to know what people's general vibe is about Dalvin Cook coming in, and then we can go from there.
I appreciate them continuing to try to bring people in and say, are you healthy enough? Can we use you? Can we utilize you in some way? So I do appreciate they're continuing not only there, but at defensive end. Yeah, they're bringing in a dude to play with the Ravens. So like there's other, they're looking at their roster going, we had some holes. We knew we had some holes as people were getting cut, that we knew that was going to be a time when people get cut, the Cowboys go shopping. They're like, let's go see what's in the designer bin at the Goodwill store.
Sure.
I'm fine with them doing it. I think, unfortunately, they're going to have to do this on a weekly basis until they possibly trade for a guy in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
But Dalvin Cook, I did look up last night Dalvin Cook's numbers the last 3 or 4 years. Obviously, last year was horrible.
Sure. But
for
before
him.
That, he was.
Yeah,
good.
He was a 1,000-yard rusher. He was averaging, I want to say, like around 4.5 yards per carry, because I looked at Zeke last year was 3.6. The year before was 3.8. The year before that was 4.0. And the year before that was 4.2. And if you just go to 2022. Dalvin Cook averaged like 4.5. So
yeah,
Zeke has not done that since 2019.
So one of the things that I saw, and I appreciate people's real opinions either way. I just don't like disingenuous opinions. Like somebody posted a clip of Dalvin Cook and they go, this is Dalvin Cook in January, y'all. It was in the playoff game against Houston, where on one carry, he ran for 19 yards. This is true.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of the game for the Ravens, he ran 7 times for a total of 4 yards.
Is that enough?
And I just think that's the kind of stuff that is very misleading. If you think he's going to be awesome because his last year was just a crap situation and he's in better shape, like, I'll definitely listen to that. But if you're like, look at this run in January, I'm like, okay, show me the rest.
Yeah, that's the where the shoulder injury, I have no clue how much that affected his style. I do know this, though. Mike Zimmer knows him. So if they had the consideration of it, did they go to Mike Zimmer and say, what are your thoughts? And Mike Zimmer's like, hey man, he's a great locker room presence. He's good to have around. If he's healthy and he has anything left, I think he'll be a good part. Because Mike Zimmer was a head coach of the Vikings, sure. So he knows that at least. And so far, Kendricks has worked out. So if they're asking Zimmer and he's good about it, then I'll say, all right, let's go. Let's see how it goes. But they definitely got to bring him in, check his body out, see if he can make it through a few games in the NFL year.
From the 940, Kevin, are you telling me they're bringing in Emmett for a workout? No, I'm not reporting that Emmett Smith is coming in for a workout.
What?
I'm not reporting that. Dalvin Cook is coming in for a workout. So my question to go along with all of that is, today's cut down day, Peyton Hendershot cut. We talked about a whole lot of cuts yesterday. You'll hear a lot more before 3 o'clock today. But what I really wanted to know for y'all, and we could talk about the Cowboys roster, what positions would you be looking at other teams for to see what their cuts are like? Like, what would you be focusing in on being like, hey, let's look across the league for this position or this
defensive
position.
End.
Okay.
Cornerback. Because I just saw one of the Tampa Bay cornerbacks was cut, and it was more of a, we're stacked at the position.
Yep.
And so if you're looking at cornerback right now and you think, hey, I got a guy that could be better than Kalen Carson available to me right now, then I would definitely,
especially with Bland out, you get concerned about your experience depth wise.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, because right now you're looking at, you already cut Scott, so Booth is back in this thing. And so you're looking at it, all the experience is really low on this team right now.
Offensive line. It was what it was for me. And I know that's probably the most difficult position because teams are trying to get offensive linemen, not let even like fringy offensive linemen go. That's why we've had Josh Ball on the roster for so long. So that,
he's good guard.
That could be
bad
tough.
Tackle.
Yeah, good now guard. That they've switched
has
it up.
Has he been cut yet or is he still?
No, he's, I think, well, let's, I think yeah. Let's go gets cut before him.
I think Josh Ball is going to make this team. So I'd say offensive line, but I do realize that could be tough to find on the waiver wire.
Yeah, my answer is none.
Okay.
We're not even getting, if they signed Dalvin Cook, that's not a person a team cut. He's just been a free agent.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to be harsh here. Most of these guys are bad at NFL football. That's why they're getting cut. Now, I'm not telling you that you can't maybe find a diamond in a rough on another team, but you weren't a bad team last year. I get if you're Carolina, Washington, like I get some of those teams going, you know how bad we were? Like, he's still bad, right?
Yeah.
He was bad for us last year. That's why he was part of the reason we lost 12 games. Why don't we just try this guy who got cut off of this 12-win team and see if he's better? I just think it's very tough when you win 12 games to look at your team and go, all right, we just had to cut 400 people today and tomorrow.
Yeah, I think Kevin's right, though. Because of injury, offensive line, Adoga,
yeah,
that's you're trying to figure out
how bad are these guys.
Is the guy, is your bad guy better than my bad player?
And that's where I think I go to when we talk about churning the bottom of the roster. I hear what you're saying, but like,
I'm not going to get a starter. I don't think.
No,
I don't think
at
I'm
least
gonna
not
get
straight
a,
away.
You know, for a
certainly,
first round pick guy.
But if one team lets go of, like Corey was just bringing up, a cornerback because they're like, that's a position of strength with us. Maybe you look at that and you're like, well, that sure as hell is going to be better than our fifth or sixth cornerback. Or maybe you pivot and look and say, oh, that's going to be better than our sixth wide receiver. Maybe we go heavy on corner versus heavy on wide receiver. I'm not saying that specifically is what's going to happen, but I think that could help the overall talent level of your football team.
I wanted to say receiver, but Flannoy showed who he is. He's a legitimate NFL wide receiver down the road. I don't think this year he's going to be anybody that you're going to go, I hinge all of my fantasy points on that guy right there. But I think that he is going to be a developmental project that's going to compete for it and be there for you. So I'm actually feeling pretty good at the wide receiver position.
Yeah.
I think offensive line, defensive line, and corner would be the areas that I would say I need some depth there. And if there's something out there that's better than a starter, good luck.
Defensive line and running back were the other positions that I looked at. I just think
continuing the defensive tackle part.
Yeah, probably. And I appreciate the moves that the Cowboys have made.
Hey, I have a question for you here.
Oh no, are you going to tell me not to appreciate these
moves? Are you giving up on Mozzie?
No.
He's
But I don't know. I don't think he's ready to go now, right?
He's in your mix.
He is.
And that's a like that's one of the as you're starting to do these things and churn it, you're going, I think Justin Rogers showed he was decent. You got Linval Joseph and Jordan Phillips. So Denzel Daxon is the dude that you're probably going,
yeah,
see you later here.
Yeah.
And then you're, but if you're like, Mozzie's not good enough still, then, but he's in the way of you making that decision because you're just like, I still have him and he's on my roster.
And he can stay on your roster, but if we're talking about playing time, I realize Mike has told us several times, this is not the real world when it comes to sports. If a lot of draft assets get spent on you, you're going to get extra opportunities or more advanced opportunities. I'm not saying that Mozzie can't get those opportunities, but it sure looks like he's not ready yet based on everything that we saw throughout training camp practices and in the preseason. It looks like he's not ready to take that role yet. So I don't think it's the end of the world to bring in more competition. You're not going to bump him off the roster, of course, but he doesn't deserve playing time just because he's a first round pick. Now I realize that flies in the face of a lot of sports logic and maybe I'll be proven wrong on that, but I don't think he should just get the playing time.
Yeah. And then running back, I think is you just continue until you find something. You just keep grabbing bodies and just going, all right, man.
Let's try you out. Let's try you out. Let's see how healthy you are, even if it's for four or five weeks, games.
Yeah,
like, I'm not going to rule that out.
Dude, I want Snoop to make this team so bad, but he's not going to.
Yeah, he's...
But it's the thing I still want.
He's not going to. Ooh. And look, I do understand people are already concerned about Mozzie Smith, but hopefully we can look at Tyler Guyton and be like, hey, that looks pretty good. That doesn't solve anything from last year, but maybe stop taking Michigan players in the first round.
They've struggled.
Take him in the sixth round.
Yeah, they've struggled with finding defensive linemen in the draft, but they're really good at finding offensive linemen in the draft.
True.
So that's
every now and again, and I realize this is probably a bad way to build your football team, but I would go to my scouting department and be like, look, you guys are great at picking up offensive linemen early in the draft. From now on, if you have a defensive lineman you want to tell us about, I need it to be like a third or fourth rounder or later.
Who's the defensive lineman that gave those offensive linemen fits that you were guys were looking at so that we can go find those guys?
Yeah, go back to the tape. Study every game again.
There's another side.
But look on the other side. I think that is really interesting. Any surprise, I'm guessing not, about Hendershot getting cut? It feels like he'd been on the way out for maybe a couple
of weeks. I was kind of... Last week when Mickey said that he was coming on strong late, I was like, oh, maybe this is just the right timing for a veteran. You know, he's like, all right, look, guys, I eased my way into camp and I got everything going. But Kevin, just kind of the things we were hearing about, like,
yeah,
he's got something that
something's different about
it. Yeah, that's different that hopefully he can figure out and turn it around for himself, because the dude has some ability to play as a receiving tight end for sure. And so that's a really good option to have around if you have something like that. But the Cowboys have two other viable options. One, they spent a very high draft pick on that we just discussed it. You feel like you have to continue giving that guy the opportunities because you spent the second round pick on him. So Schoonmaker, whether he's good or better or not, he gets the opportunity.
Yes, and it feels like an offensive version of what we were just talking about with Mozzie. Now I realize with Schoonmaker, it might be more because of injuries than anything else, but you're not moving off your second round pick in the second year. You're definitely not moving off your first round pick in the second year. But
Hendershot becomes a victim of that.
Sure.
That's the way that falls for him.
We'll keep you up to date on the cuts all day long. So 3:00 Central is the deadline for NFL teams to get the rosters down to 53. Now,
what happens if they don't?
You get penalized, I believe, draft picks and money. Yeah, so the money they might not care as much about, but I believe depending on if you've offended this rule multiple times or violated this rule multiple times, you can get fined draft picks and then get draft picks taken away and get fined money.
Would you like doing this? Would you like calling in the player?
No, that does not sound fun at all.
Hey, man, look,
You saw yourself play, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's not what you would say, right?
You talk to him on the way to the office? You're just like,
I don't think they do.
I don't think this meeting's going to go well.
See, I think I would.
We really want to go over some things with you.
See, I think I would be like, what is your college degree in? And like ask other questions to kind of like prepare them for when they sit down.
Yeah. Not pay attention in college?
Not in a mean way. Just like, what are your other business type interests? Jeez. Just to kind of prepare them for what's about to happen.
They called me in one time and they said, are you sure you're left-handed? I was like, I think so. And they're like,
Did they really say? Oh my gosh.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You ever tried throwing with your right hand to see if it's better?
Oh my gosh. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the host of NFL Live and SEC Nation, it's Laura Rutledge right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Host of NFL Live and SEC Nation, and pretty much you can see her all over the place. It's Laura Rutledge. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great, but what I really want to know is, how much do you love our city and the Cowboys for consistently trying really hard to provide you with content?
I love it. You know, it's funny because there are people who are like, oh, wow, ESPN just only talks about the Cowboys. And that's really not true on NFL Live. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depending on how you look at it, the Cowboys are always providing us headlines. And yesterday was a great one, getting the CD deal done. And we were all excited about that. But yeah, it is funny. We do spend a lot of time talking about those Cowboys.
Okay, when y'all are sitting around and preparing your show and getting ready for it, do you look like you look at the Cowboys as a circus, a well-run PR machine, or a legitimate football organization?
I think it's kind of a mixture of all those things. That's what makes them so fascinating. You know, they're a team that, for whatever they've actually done in the postseason, we expect them to be there every single year, and they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, so we'd be talking about him anyway from that standpoint. And then there's always these other underlying storylines, right, that just kind of like circulate around. And I think no matter what, you know, when we talk about them, especially for NFL Live being a daily show, we talk about so many teams, right? But the Cowboys are usually at least some part of our rundown for the show. Usually the conversation is, you know, if it's not some major news, it's like, well, what about this angle that people haven't talked enough about? You know, even yesterday when we were talking about CD, we were also talking about the Bland injury, which unfortunately, you know, happened. But also, like, some of us think it's a big deal. Others aren't as worried. So it's always interesting to get differing opinions on Dallas.
You can count me in the category if I am worried about that injury. So
us too. Yeah, we are.
Me too.
For whatever it's worth, what do you think about the Cowboys kind of kicking the tires on Dalvin Cook? This has been in the offseason a much maligned running back room. What do you think about this opportunity?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, look, to your point, it's a running back room that needs depth. And I think Zeke will have some part of this, but he's not, you know, a younger back. And running backs, unfortunately, in the NFL these days just have a very shortened career unless you're somebody like Christian McCaffrey. So I think they should do it, and it can't really hurt at this point. To me too, you've got to think that in order to try to, I mean, everyone knows that Dak's going to be going to CD. So to try to diversify this offense in a way to make it a little bit more balanced, you've got to get something going in the run game. And one thing we talked about too recently is just Dak, you know, obviously injuries have affected him a little bit, but getting back to being a little bit more mobile, even in the pocket and doing some things outside the pocket that we know he can do, a great running game or even like a decent running game could help a lot in that way. So I hope the Dalvin Cook thing happens.
Is there an anticipation that because of Kellen Moore that the Eagles offense is going to be back or more explosive? It kind of fell apart last year.
I do think that will help, right? And it's going to be interesting because Jalen Hurts even – said this. He's had so many offensive coordinators during his career, even going back to college. So there's going to be, I think, a little bit of a learning curve with some of that. But I do think they're going to be a lot better than they were at that latter half of last season. I mean, that was a collapse that I don't think we've seen in quite some time at the professional level like that, to just consistently be so bad when you have the weapons that they had. I think Jalen was hurt and that was part of it, but that doesn't even excuse, you know, some of how that looked. So I expect more explosiveness for sure. And that's another reason why the Cowboys need to make sure that they're in a better position, because that NFC East, you know, when it comes to the Eagles and maybe even the Commanders a little bit too, yeah. I wouldn't really consider the Giants in that category. But, you know, Jaden Daniels can make some things happen. They have some weapons on that Commanders team. The Cowboys need to make sure that their offense is, you know, humming at a really nice pace like they were many times last season.
I was about to ask where you are on the Jaden Daniels hype train. I know Caleb Williams gets a lot of attention, and all of a sudden, you know, Bo Nix has really been emerging in the preseason. But what are your anticipations or what are your expectations for Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I covering him in college, I've loved him for years, and I think he is everything that we thought he was, right? And we're seeing it already play out in this Commanders offense. I realize it's just the preseason, but my goodness, he throws a pretty ball. You see some of these passes, and you're like, oh my God, let me watch that again and again and again. And they have Terry McLaurin, who is one of the like utmost professional, just goes out, gets the job done, great leader. He's an exceptional player on that offense. Deami Brown, he's already had a nice connection with in the preseason. I think that they could surprise some people. I'm not saying that they're going to be better than the Cowboys or better than the Eagles, but they're not going to be some easy out. I think Jaden will make a pretty easy, well, easy as rookie quarterbacks go, transition to the NFL. He'll have his bumps, but I expect him to have a really nice career. This rookie quarterback class this season, guys, is really fun. I mean, you mentioned Bo Nix, too. Not many people were talking about him after the draft in maybe the way that they are now. We're seeing him look absolutely perfect in this Sean Payton offense there in Denver.
Yeah, how much of that, because Kevin and I have been kind of eyeballing that a lot lately. I'm just kind of curious your thoughts on how much of that is Sean Payton having just a great understanding of the game and being able to make it simple for the quarterback versus what the quarterback was in college and what he's molded into now.
Yeah, I think it's kind of some of both, right? Where Sean Payton identified Bo Nix and said, oh yeah, this guy can run what I want to do. And then also tailored some things specifically to Bo Nix's skill set. And look, I mean, it's interesting because we've seen teams like, I don't know, this is kind of funny considering that he's actually on the team, but Zach Wilson with the Jets, you draft him because you're like, oh, he's making these wow throws in pro day, but can he actually run the offense that you want him to run? And so often at the NFL level, I think guys get obsessed with just what is incredible talent at the quarterback position, undeniable talent, but then you got to execute the offense. In this case, it looks to be perfect marriage of, hey, you know what? This guy may not have like some of those, you know, wow throws that you saw from Zach Wilson or maybe somebody else, but he can do what I need him to do, and he can do it at a very high level. I think some of his mobility too, and the ability to use his legs is going to make an even better factor in that offense. So Sean Payton, from what I know, really liked Bo Nix for a long time. And it's funny because, you know, some of us were like, really? Okay, well, you'll see how that goes. But I think they were so happy. They knew that he would be there for them, you know, when they were picking. You get a little nervous after the Falcons took Penix as high as they did. But they knew that, like, they were the ones that loved him and he would love them back, you know. And I think it's going to end up working out really well for Nix and for Sean Payton and that Broncos team.
Talk with Laura Rutledge right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, I realize some of the dynamics of these regular season college football games have changed with the expanded playoff, but as somebody who went to Texas A&M, after this weekend, do you think I will be optimistic or not optimistic about how this season's going to go?
No, I think you're going to be optimistic. Like, Texas A&M is good. They really are. Now, look, do I think that they're going to be, like, you know, absolutely a playoff team? I don't know. Some of it has to do with the schedule and who they're going to have to play in the SEC. But the fact that they're at home for this Notre Dame opener, there's so much familiarity on the Elko side with what Notre Dame's doing. Like, there's just going to be, I think, a lot of gamesmanship that could actually play into the Aggies' hand a little bit. And they got so much talent, you know, and I believe, and maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, but I do believe them when they say that they've worked on, I know, we're doing it, we're drinking this maroon Kool-Aid together.
What could ever go wrong with drinking Kool-Aid?
I know. Oh, well, I believe them when they say they're going to be, you know, better in the fourth quarter, and they're conditioning for that and things of that nature. They're like this kind of team that, when you look at the whole SEC, it's not like anybody's really talking a ton about Texas A&M nationally, but they're a team that could maybe surprise some people. I think people are focused on, you know, other parts of the SEC and even maybe other parts in the state of Texas, right, with Texas joining. But I could just see them. They are never, and it's never an easy place to play. Let's say they beat Notre Dame, and then there's going to be a lot of conversation around that. The other thing, too, that's interesting with this expanded playoff, of course, is you've got teams that can afford a couple losses and probably still make it in, and strength of schedule, I think, could really play nicely for them when it all comes down to it.
You mentioned Texas. This appears as though, especially with Ewers back, as a playoff or bust season, and obviously their expectations might be even higher than just being in the playoff. Is that fair to say?
I think it's national championship or bust for them. And listen, Steve Sarkisian's not saying that, right? He's like, can you guys stop with all, he's like pulling a Saban with the rat poison. He doesn't want any more of this positivity. Even when we were there in Austin, when we welcomed them to the SEC, we did a whole show around it. He was kind of trying to temper expectations even at that point. That's before all of this preseason love really came to the forefront. But they are really stacked, you know, and I think the thing about Texas, we saw this last season too, they're such a physical team, so they're just going to match up well in the SEC, and even in a very tough schedule, going to Michigan week two, there's a lot that sticks out. They do host Georgia, which plays nicely for them. You know, the other thing that is in their favor, I think, despite the fact that they're a really good team and they should be a top five team when it's all said and done, maybe, you know, top two, if we'll see how it all plays out, but they are, their schedule helps them, right? They don't really have to go on the road in the SEC until like late October, and it's Vanderbilt. So they're in a really nice spot, I think, when it comes
in your face, Vanderbilt.
After that, but I know, sorry, I try not to throw shade. I try not to, you know, like punch down. But anyway, Vanderbilt is where they have to go. So they're in a really favorable position, I think, schedule wise.
All right, so one of my bucket list things, I've always heard Saturday night at LSU is one of the best environments. Does the change, does the teams that have moved into the SEC change the tailgate party rankings at all? And what are the top three tailgate parties for you in the SEC?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're right about LSU at night. You have to do it. Like, if you are able to go and see Death Valley at night, it is absolutely worth all of the hype. And it's just a must-see. They're certainly at the top for me. I'm not just playing to the crowd here. I think Texas A&M is a great tailgate environment. Huh. And here's what I like is actually a early game there, because you get people out there with the breakfast tacos. I didn't know about that. Like, I'm from Atlanta and then went to Florida, so we didn't really do that. And I'm like, why didn't we do that? Because that's great. And it's so fun to see, you know, just the different styles of tailgating. Then I would put Alabama in the top three. They just know a thing or two about it, right? They know a thing or two about big games. An honorable mention always is Ole Miss.
Yes.
That's another one. If you have not been to the Grove for a tailgating experience, it is truly an experience. And I do think, I mean, look, guys, I haven't, you know, covered the Big 12 in a long time, so I haven't seen Texas and Oklahoma tailgating necessarily, but I'm excited to experience it. And the early returns on what Austin was, even just for a welcome to the SEC show, make me think that it's going to be really promising.
When you infiltrate all of these tailgates, are you going to be bringing your honey baked ham with you? Because I know that game day is honey baked ham day this fall. So are you going to be bringing everyone some honey baked ham to get it going for those tailgates?
I absolutely am. I'm going to be traveling with one of their gorgeous bone-in half hams in my carry-on bag and just taking it everywhere I go. And it really, really for me, right, because it's so delicious. But you mentioned it, game day is a honey bake day, and you guys are going to absolutely love their new offerings. The sliders are unbelievable. So it's not just about the ham. They've got sliders. They have a sandwich platter that everybody loves. So many offerings. Their new pulled pork Cuban slider is delicious. It's got the pulled pork and the ham, Swiss cheese, pickle, the whole nine yards. So it's a great way to show up at a tailgate or even at your house if you're hosting people and say, yeah, let me impress you. Let me show you that I really went all out for this with delicious food and something for everyone.
Yeah, ham's a top three meat, Kevin.
It's
top three.
Especially if it's honey baked. Mm-hmm. So honeybaked.com/gameday if you want to get more information, buy stuff online, pick up in store, set that all up. So you are on NFL Live, SEC Nation. I know you got to do the Masters. Now you got honey baked ham. What's next? Is it cookbook? Are we going back into dance? As you continue to take over general media, what's next?
Oh, goodness. I'm probably oversaturated. I don't know what's next. You know, it's really funny you mentioned cookbook because I love to cook and I love food. And it is something that I have thought about. I just thought, you know, wouldn't it be so embarrassing, though, if I made a cookbook and nobody got it, like nobody wanted it. But maybe if I sent one to you guys and you guys wanted it, then at least
come back on the show and promote it. Yes. We'll help you out.
Three people wanted it. I'm so fortunate to be able to, you know, do any of this. I'm so thankful for the Honeybake partnership and all these jobs that I do at ESPN. I can't even believe that I'm doing this. So truly just grateful for all of it.
Well, we appreciate you coming on with us, especially since you said you think Texas A&M is going to win. Well, I appreciate that even more. Right. I needed that hope for the week. So thank you very much for jumping on with us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Bye, Laura.
There you go. Laura Rutledge right here on 105.3 The Fan. Honeybake.com/gameday if you want more information on those sliders, because I know I saw your eyes light up.
Yeah, trust me, I love a slider. Kevin, I have news.
Yep, cuts.
Carl Lawson has been released by the Dallas Cowboys.
Really?
He joined them late in training camp.
Wow.
He could potentially return to the practice squad, according to Todd Archer, who was on with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton this morning. No guaranteed money in his one-year deal that he signed. So,
okay.
Smart deal by the Cowboys.
Yes.
I was hoping that he could provide a little more.
That is a very good point. Thank you for those updates, Mr. Majors. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
Sounds like the Rangers are ready to move on to 2025 and 2024 next.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Want to give you a heads up at 3:20 today. Rangers player show on the G-Bag Nation will be Cody Bradford. So tune into that. And also, I believe Corey might have cut information. I'm not sure where we're going with this.
Kevin, the Texans, according to Jordan Schultz, are releasing Noah Brown. He had 33 catches for 567 yards and 2 touchdowns last season. And my friend who's a Texans fan, every time he would catch a ball, he'd be like, thanks for Noah Brown. I was like, you'll see.
Reggie?
So we should bring back Noah Brown and trade for Ridgeway now that he's on the block.
Yeah, Ridgeway's out there available, so that's going to be nice. Let's
see what we can do there. Right now.
Sounds fun.
It's time for Baseball Nuggets. Speaking of fun with Mike Bacsik.
Yeah, okay. So the Rangers have, I'm not breaking news here. 2024 is over. They do have approximately 30 games to practice. And I'm not saying just for the players. The players have to put up numbers. They're fighting for jobs.
They still got a 0.2 chance.
But I am listening on Friday to Eric Nadell come on G-Bag Nation, and he throws this. I feel like this was a bombshell. He says, yeah, and Justin Foscue's pretty much the way that I heard him say it. Justin Foscue's coming up to play first base in the month of September.
All right.
And I was like, wait a second.
Whoa.
You know, now, I understand. From what we understand, Nate Lowe's not going to be a Texas Ranger next year. At least that's the leaning towards the Texas Rangers, as he will, in arbitration, he has one more year of arbitration than a free agent that he will probably get, being a world champion, a silver slugger, a gold glove award winner. He's not having a bad year this year, but he's obviously not having a year that they think is worthy of approximately $10 million is what he's going to get next year.
I wasn't expecting him back this year. Honestly, I thought there would be a trade to move up, but
they
moved on with him.
So I'm just going off of what Eric Nadell said, and what I'm going off of what I'm hearing is they're going to give Foscue the first baseman's glove in the month of September, and I'm not sure if he's going to play every day, But I think he's going to play 50% of the time at first base, if not more, because I think the Rangers need to know, can he be our first baseman in 2025? Now, we're not going to base everything on September, but we're going to base quite a bit off of it, because I didn't know this until Eric Nadell said this. So I'm like, is Justin Foscue doing good? Do you guys know how good or not good he's doing?
I'm honestly not sure. I will admit it.
In the month of August, he's batting .342.
Oh, great. Let's
make it happen. With a 1.036 OPS. He has 5 home runs. He has 4 doubles, no triples. He's not fast. He runs like a first baseman. I know he was drafted as a second baseman. He runs like a first baseman. He has 17 RBIs. He has 17 runs scored. He has 15 walks to 12 strikeouts. So I'm just looking at this, and I have no clue if it'll correlate, because I'm going to move on to another player here pretty soon. But does that – I don't know if excite is – that's too strong of a word. How interested are you in – I get most people are not going to watch a second of Rangers baseball in September. Sure. When they're not good, that's what happens to Rangers baseball. How much will you be interested in what Justin Foscue and the box score is doing?
I definitely will be interested in that, because, again, we've talked about this with the Cowboys so many times. It's the unknown. So I'm like, hey, give me a full month of this guy, and then you can decide, can I be hyped about him going into spring training or not?
Yeah, if he turns out like to do something well enough, maybe he's a tradable piece in the offseason, or maybe he's your future first baseman.
Yeah, I don't know if he has much trade value.
Yeah, I know. I'd love to see him get that value up.
But I guess if he does, then you have a league minimum first baseman, right?
Yeah, exactly. True.
And that's exactly what I think the Rangers are going to be kind of, you know.
Cheap.
Yeah, I think they're going to be looking at Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford in the outfield. Moving to my next position is because both of those guys are league minimum players. It's sounding like through the Rangers, through Bruce Bochy, and through articles that Leody Taveras' time with the Texas Rangers is coming to an end. He will play some in September, it sounds like, but I thought Bruce Bochy made an interesting comment the other day, and he said, Wyatt Langford has all the tools to play center field.
That's true.
So he doesn't have the arm. But
And it's become
neither did Mike Trout.
It's becoming more center fielders have arms than typical. It used to be back in the day we had the fast guy that could just cover, and now it's like most of these guys are fast.
Here's what stinks is that we don't know. Is Evan Carter getting hurt? If he would have just like come back in, let's say, after the All-Star break, now you'd be like, all right, well, is Evan Carter going to play center field every day? Because we don't, I guess they're going to play Wyatt Langford in center field almost every day in September. I'm wondering to see, can he do this?
Because
if he can't, then Evan Carter can.
Yeah.
But I think Leody, I think we're finding out that Leody's time with the Texas Rangers after 2024 is over. And so people might say this. Well, what does that do to Nate Lowe and Leody Taveras and the clubhouse and all of this stuff? They have to, when they get in the games, they're playing for their life.
Yeah.
They're literally playing for not life or death. They're playing for their
livelihood
in baseball. Because Leody is not guaranteed to be an everyday player next year on the 29 other teams that have the ability now to probably sign him as a free agent. His numbers do not suggest he's an everyday player. His defense does not suggest he's a great defensive center fielder. So if he's not over the top center field defense and he's below average in the hitting, when he does play, starting in this Chicago series, he needs to really have a good finishing part whenever he does play, because he will play some.
Sure.
He's playing to see if he's still a major league player, or at least an everyday major league player, because I'm sure there will be 10 teams in the offseason that look at Leody and go fourth, fifth outfielder. But I don't know. Can he play right or left field? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. If I'm another team, when I pick up another outfielder, I have to go, all right, I know I'm picking up a below average offensive player. I'm picking up a guy who can definitely play center field, but what if my left fielder gets hurt? Can he play left field? Do I have to move my left fielder to center field? Or do I have to move my center fielder to left field because the left fielder got hurt and Leody goes to center? So I think Leody, in a way, Like, if they want to see if Wyatt can play center field, I kind of want to play some left field to prove to the 29 other teams that I can maybe play left field if I'm a utility outfielder now. And I think this is the harsh reality of sports that we don't want to recognize. Remember how much we loved Nomar Mazara his first couple of years?
Yes, I do.
And then he fell off. And everybody thought, oh, yeah, well, we don't like him, but there's 29 other teams. Nobody liked him. Chicago picked him up, had him as like a utility guy, like, ah, we'll play you some against this situation. And then his career ended. It just ended. San Diego picked him up as like a AAA outfielder, and it was over.
Yeah.
And so when guys fall out of favor, even with the world championship team here, and I know obviously they're not going to be the world champions after this year's over, is these guys like Leody and Nate Lowe, how easy is it going to be or difficult to find an everyday job in Major League Baseball? Maybe they're a backup like Nomar Mazara next year for a team. And then does their career end after that? It happens. As much as people think that we all make 90% of us have to work after our jobs. It's only 10% that end up being Marcus Semien, right. Corey Seager, Jacob DeGrom. Most of us have to work.
Those guys get the coaching jobs too.
Yeah,
right?
they get the assistant to the general manager jobs. Yeah,
assistant general manager.
They still get paid.
Special assistant. And then my last one will be this. You guys talked about Montgomery yesterday, so I won't talk about him here. Is how interested or excited are you, or is it totally gone because of how he did before in Jack Leiter starting tomorrow for the Rangers, which we'll get more into tomorrow.
I'm definitely interested, especially because it looks like his velocity has jumped up a little bit and is sitting a little higher than it was. So I'm definitely interested.
And he's pitching against the White Sox. I'm going to be honest. He better go five or more innings against the White Sox. And I don't need total domination, but I need a quality start.
Yeah.
I guess that would be six innings. But at least getting into the six with less than three runs, like, he has to be able to do that, right?
Yeah, and less than four walks.
That is a good point. Now,
and
real quick.
Seven or eight strikeouts.
On the Cowboys front, Aaron Wilson is reporting that Josh Ball has been released.
Oh, man.
Dallas Cowboys.
There he goes.
And look, we talk all the time about roster maneuvering. Carl Lawson might fall into that. But as we speak right now, Aaron Wilson reporting that Josh Ball has also been released. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.